podcast.
Not everyone knows that Oban is the home of the Scottish Association for Marine Science, SAMS. SAMS is Scotland's largest and oldest independent marine science organisation and a real gem with a global reputation. And here to tell us a little bit more about that today is Professor Nick Owens. Nick is Chief Executive of SAMS, and we hear a bit more about what they do at the site and just what brought Nick to the role, and it's a really compelling story. I hope you enjoy it. Hi Nick, I think the best place to start is maybe get you to tell us a little bit more about the Scottish Association for Marine Science in Oban.
Sure thing. Yeah, well, we are a very long established organisation. We are, in fact, one of the oldest marine research stations in the world, and certainly we are the oldest marine research station in the UK. We haven't always been in Oban. We started out life actually way back in the 1880s in a small barge in a flooded quarry in Granton.
Wow.
A long story which I won't go. I don't need to go into the full background, but really it was the brainchild of a man called Sir John Murray, who is really considered to be the father of oceanography. And he'd been part of the big expedition, and they lived in Edinburgh. And he essentially set up this first marine research station, as I say, on an old barge. They then realised that actually the east coast was not the best place to be doing the marine research, although they did quite a lot over there. So eventually they moved this barge over to Millport on the island of Great Cumbrae and beached it there and carried on the work. It had various names, this marine lab, the Scottish Marine Laboratory and so on. And eventually they built a very imposing building in Millport, which is still there and is now run by the Field Studies Council. And that's where SAMS was for many, many years until the early 70s. So as I mentioned, it had lots of different names. The Scottish Marine Biological Association was one that it had for a very long time. And then in the late 60s, it became apparent really that Millport and the Clyde was not the best of places to have such a marine research lab. And so decided to move, and particularly to get to nearer to deeper water. And so the hunt was on to find somewhere suitable to go. And the site at Dunstaffnage was available, very close to deep water, and the sea locks in particular, and the edge of the Atlantic and so on. And so in the early 70s, the lab moved there. It was still called the Scottish Marine Biological Association then. And we've been growing ever since, really. At the time, we were fully funded by the Research Council, which was a much easier life in those days to do this type. There were various changes came along to the way things were funded. An important thing, which we'll perhaps come back to a little bit later, is we became part of the UHI Millennium Institute, which became the University of the Highlands and Islands. So we were a founding partner at that. And then there was quite a bit of investment into new buildings and to actually produce the really very impressive site and facilities that we've got now, right on the water's edge. And the developments have continued with nice, very impressive teaching facilities, for instance, for the university. And I think probably the biggest development really was linked through with the development of the science park, the marine science park there, where we like to think of ourselves as the honeypot to try and attract businesses in, which we are doing, I think, quite successfully.
Yeah. I mean, it's come on a lot from a start in a barge. If anybody hasn't been to the site in Dunstaffnage, it's quite an impressive set of building and facilities there. Tell us a little bit more about what goes on at SAMS and then at the European Marine Science Park, because there's a whole load of activities that I think people you might not appreciate is all happening right on the doorstep.
Indeed. Well, we've got, I mean, firstly, we're quite a sizable organization. I mean, you're right, when people, if they've ever been before, you know, they go, whoa, had no idea, you know, there was this much going on here and how big we are. You know, we've got about 160 members of staff there, and we've now got over 180 students that come to work on a normal day. Mm. So we've got 350 odd people actually get down that road to Dunstaffnage every day. And our research work is extremely broad. So we do work from looking at the big scale ocean circulation, so the way that the ocean currents work and the interaction of the ocean currents with the weather systems. And that's especially the case where we do a lot of that work in the Arctic regions, which is, many people will know, of course, is warming the fastest, just about the fastest warming on the planet. And that's really changing the circulation, the ocean currents. And that in turn is really having quite a significant effect on the climate and weather. So that's a big piece of work. And we do a lot of that work these days now, actually, with robots. So we've got robots that we can release off Tyree, set them loose for several months at a time, and they travel under their own steam out to Iceland, for instance, bobbing up and down, taking measurements as they go, and sending back the data. So when they come to the surface, they squirt the data back through satellites back to the lab. So you know, that's quite an extraordinary development from just in very recent years. Then we do a lot of work on the ecology of the coastal regions and you know, how the seashores and the nearshore waters work and the sea locks, primarily, you know, obviously the marine life, but also the chemistry of those areas. And increasingly that work is looking at the interaction of the coastal systems with people and the sort of social science. So we've got a number of social scientists, not only just, you know, natural scientists who work at SAMS. And then a really big growth area, and this links in with the European Marine Science Park, is a big area for us, is the development of what we call the blue economy. So the science behind the blue economy. And we're very, very much majoring on algae. So seaweeds are algae, and also little microscopic plants are algae. And the huge range of chemicals, for instance, that you can get out of these things, really unusual and valuable chemicals. One of the things that we're starting to think about doing is looking for antiviral agents, actually, out of some of these algae. We've got the largest collection of microalgae, so these single-celled algae, but the largest collection of that single-cell organisms in the world, and we supply industry and other academic partners with these, and then look at what they can do for us. We've got our own seaweed farm, which is an experimental farm, and the idea there is that we are developing systems and knowledge and know-how to help actually grow the seaweed industry around, you know, the local area, actually. And I personally think seaweed is going to be a big development. That's the next big development for, I think, aquaculture, really. Yeah. You know, when we think of aquaculture, mostly everybody thinks farms, which is big, of course. But I'm absolutely convinced that there will be a new industry develop, and we're helping develop that. And the link with that and the science part is that we need to. So when we grow seaweed, and you say, well, what are you going to do with it? And one of the things that you've got to do with it is you've actually got to process it in various ways. And there's some very clever chemical ways of extracting various compounds from it, and then identifying what these compounds are through very clever analytical chemistry and what these compounds might do. And so the next big step in the development of the science park actually is this development of a bioprocessing centre, which we're very excited about. That's going to be sort of the phase two building. There's a very nice big building there at present, but we're very excited about the prospect of a big new building appearing to do a lot of this bioprocessing work.
Yeah, now that, I mean, I think it is really interesting. I mean, I've been lucky enough to see inside your repository there, and it's so impressive.
Yes.
And it's actually quite a beautiful sight to see as well. But, you know, I think, you know, as you describe it, that sort of sense of, you know, the research and the academic facility there being that honeypot, and it has started to bring companies who are starting to look at ways to exploit that technology, and the ideas to draw in more, and it's linked with likes of Highlands and Islands Enterprise as well, and we've got the link to the rural growth deal. So it's one of those great examples of where so many things come together and work in a complementary way to one another, hopefully to build on the success that's there and really get something that's quite unique in the UK. If not, your reach
Absolutely.
Is way more
yes.
than that, it's global, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. Very much so. I mean, the seaweed work, for instance, doesn't just remain locally. We've got a big project going at the moment with actually helping the more sort of artisanal seaweed farmers in East Africa and Indonesia and Malaysia and places like that, because of the expertise we've developed on diseases of seaweed, for instance, and things like that. And so we're able to help actually developing countries and less, you know, well-off countries to actually develop their own businesses. So because we are a charity as an organization, so although we don't, you know, stand outside supermarkets rattling tins, you know, we do actually have charitable objectives, and one of which is actually to expose our knowledge and know-how that we develop in SAMS all around the world, actually. And so if you look at the number of countries that we operate in, it's 30, 40 different countries, not necessarily all at once. But so internationally, we very much, I think, have quite a powerful punch, really. And so that's great to be able to deploy that locally, you know, in the open region. And you mentioned the rural growth deal. One of the exciting projects about the rural growth deal, well, there were two actually that involved us. One is that we're going to get, if it all goes ahead, fingers crossed, of course.
Yeah, well and truly crossed.
Absolutely. Is a big redevelopment of our seaweed hatchery. So at the moment, we've got it's a very effective hatchery, but if we're really going to help industry and really develop the seaweed farming industry, we really need to increase our capacity and modernize it a bit. And so one of the projects within that rural growth field is a really exciting development of the seaweed hatchery. And then also at the same time, one of the things that we're very keen to do, again, we do a little bit of work on this, but we really need to up our game, is actually on a nursery for oysters, in particular native oysters. So that's something that we wish to develop. We're already doing work on that, but we would like to do more. So the rural growth deal is going to bring some very significant investment into those two areas.
Yeah.
And then the other part of that rural growth deal, which I'm very excited about, is to work with Argyll College, a fellow partner of the University of Highlands and Islands, on a marine and maritime training centre. I mean, although the teaching that we do is quite different from much of the training that is intended for the maritime and centre, there is definitely a role for us in that development, and we're starting to talk with Argyll College now about the sorts of contributions that SAMS would be able to make, and to complement the main thrust of that work. So again, you know, really, really exciting opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I mean, the rural growth deals is all about trying to make the most of our natural resources, and the blue economy couldn't be more relevant to that. And I think, you know, again, we've worked together on the Oban as a university town concept, and it's a little bit of a misnomer because it is a university town. I think people don't necessarily appreciate that there's a number of graduate students there, you know, either with yourselves or with UHI and Argyll College, and it's really about growing that. And I think, you know, what you do is already attracting students worldwide because of the, you know, what you do that's very specific, and having the training centre will just, you know, give an added facility there, and also support businesses who need to train employees to be there on the site. And it all just builds that park and that cluster of complementary businesses, and hopefully that will enable it to go from strength to strength, because I think, you know, that there's so much scope, and it is such a unique strength for us and our coastal location.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think the it is, and I think it is unique. Okay, there, I mean, there are lots of science parks around, you know, the UK in general, but I mean, there isn't a specific marine one like we've got here, and not one that is particularly focusing in on this range of training and skills from, let's say, the boat building, for instance, which is going to be part of it, but through to developing or getting fine chemicals and drugs, you know, out of seaweed. You know, so I mean, as an example, one of the listeners might like to know about this one, but many people will know that cows produce a lot of methane, and which is worldwide quite a significant contribution to greenhouse gases and global warming and all that. But one of the things that well, we didn't actually make the very first discovery, but we're actually building on it, is that if you feed cattle with certain types of red seaweeds, you can dramatically reduce the amount of methane that are produced by cattle. And so one of the projects that we're involved with is looking at which of the seaweeds is most potent, and secondly, can we identify the genes that produce these compounds, and perhaps even use those genes, you know, actually in fermenters, and not actually use seaweed at all.
Wow.
So that's just an example of sort of the ramifications of the work that we do.
Yeah, I mean the reach is phenomenal, isn't it? I mean, I do think you're right that, you know, seaweed is one of those you know, real growth areas in terms of where the science is going to take us with that, because, you know, there's every time I speak to you or others connected with this, is there's just another use that I learn about that we can put seaweed to. And, you know, to be you know, at the forefront of that in our area and have that link, and that, you know, I think you know, if people look at some of our publications, and if they'll see we quite often feature photos from SAMS, because I think, you know, that the extent to which that cutting edge science is happening in Argyll and Bute is not necessarily what people associate with the area, and what's often featured are the pictures of the you know, the sea and the lochs and the hills and things. But you know, that is right at the cutting edge, and something that you know, really gives us a unique selling point for the area.
For sure. I mean, and actually having all of that is also a great attractor of people. You know, people want to come and work at SAMS, not only because of obviously what we do, which is very attractive for a lot of people, but also actually the location. It's such a special place, really, that, you know, we know that we do have lots of, particularly younger people, you know, who love the who love the outdoors and the like. So it's we you know we help I think we help with the with the growth of the area actually in terms of population. I'm absolutely sure of
Yeah,
that.
absolutely. And I mean, if people are interested when we can travel and visit places again, there's the Discovery Centre down on site that provides a visitor centre for targeted mainly at children, I think, but it's interesting for everybody that just some of the work and again that'll sit nicely with the skills work that we'll include in the Rural Growth Deal to promote STEM education as well, and it's certainly worth a visit, and then they can see just what a tremendous site you've got there.
Definitely, and I mean we actually have all sorts of plans in mind to actually grow that whole STEM area and the outreach centre in the, once we can get going again. And we've got a sort of fundraising campaign underway at the moment. Actually, I'll mention something about that in just a second. But one of the things that we know we want to do is we actually want to engage the public a lot more than a membership organisation, as it were. So you can become a member of SAMT. It's only about £12 a year at the moment. And we've got about 250 people who are members, and they get various communications from us for that. But we'd really like to up our game on what it means to be a member of SAMT, actually. And part of that is to really enhance the offering, if you like, to the public of what it is we actually do, so to attract more people down there, and hopefully, attract youngsters, because what's one of the things that we know is if you can catch some of these youngsters young, then you've got them for life in terms of wanting to go and do science at college or wherever. And so we've got some exciting plans there. And in fact, that really goes back to the very, very, very origins of SAMS, in fact, when members of the public could actually pay a very small amount of money to actually join the trawling trips that the scientists of the day out of Millport were doing on the research boats. And so it's a good tradition. Good
So
tradition.
where, if people are interested in joining SAMS or any other information, where can they go to find out more about that?
Just go to our website, which is www.sams.ac.uk, and all of the well, there's a demonstration of all of the things that we do, a lot more than we're able to cover here. Lots of pictures of magnificent marine life. There's lots of video clips showing the sort of work that we're doing. I mean, there's a nice article in there that was something published recently that one of our scientists got involved with, looking at blue whales around the Antarctic, for instance, and showing that at long last, the blue whale population is actually rebuilding from around the Antarctic after all of the whaling. So there's stuff, something to interest anybody and everybody there, and details of how to become a member are on there too. Everybody would be most welcome, that's for
And
sure.
I think I'm not sure, I can't remember if it's on that website. You do a bit of merchandise now, because
We do,
you've got
yes.
Sam's shop, so it's also a
We
point if
do,
people are interested in the environment. I know I've used that for some presents and things for family, so
yes, indeed. Yeah,
recommend
no,
they
there's
do
some.
that.
Yeah, no, there's definitely that's a good plug. Thank you for that.
Plug for you
No, there's some.
shamelessly,
There's
I will
some.
though.
Yeah, there's some really nice stuff to be had on the website, that's for sure. And in actual fact, I mean, at the moment, sadly, of course, the visitor centre is closed, but there's a very nice shop actually in the physical shop in the visitor centre, along with a very nice cafe actually. We look forward to when we can reopen all of that.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously things are different for all of us, and I know you've been sort of working from home and off-site and things. So what's the, when you can get back, what are the main plans for the future? What can people maybe expect to see from Sam's?
Well, that's good. That's an interesting point. I mean, one of the things that we are actively engaged in is starting a fundraising campaign. We've had to retire our research ship, the Calanus. She was a very old lady, getting on for 40 years old, and was becoming unsafe, really, and very, very expensive. So we're about to embark on a big fundraising campaign, which we can't do a great deal at the moment about that, but we would very, very much really like to get a new research vessel, which we are very much considering thinking about making more accessible actually to the public. So people could watch out for that. I mean, we never actually shut the lab because some of the things that we've had to do. So you know, I'm really grateful for a lot of my colleagues who've actually worked through this right from last March and have worked as normal, because we've got lots of things that we've got to keep alive. So, you know, in the, you mentioned it, you know, in the collection that we've got full of all those lovely colorful algae, through to what we've got in the aquarium and the various animals and plants that we have to keep alive there. So we'll really, we want to get everybody back. We've got a lot of students whose really their studies have been pretty much put on hold, so we can hopefully see that. In terms of exciting new work, I think the biggest development area to make a prediction would be, I think, on the bioprocessing side of things. I think that will, you know, we still do quite a bit of that already, but I think that will develop a big time. At least that's what I would wish for anyway. I think also just getting out into the field again. You know, we know, for instance, our students, one of the unique selling points location side is our location and what we can do for students, and you know, actually, you know, right in the marine environment. That's why they come. And so, you know, we haven't been able to do any of that this last year. So we certainly want to revive that. And as I say, we look forward to some of the infrastructure rebuilding and our new buildings and the rebuild of some of our existing facilities. So all of that is good. I mean, one of the things that we are all thinking about is, have we learned, you know, what have we learned from all of this? Yes, indeed, we're all working from home. I'm supposed to be in Mexico actually right now at an international conference. I chair an organization on observing the global ocean, and it's supposed to be our annual meeting this week. And so we're actually hosting it virtually. And you know, it begs the question, what are we going to do in the future? You know, I mean, there's a big meeting that happens every year in Hawaii, and you get something like 6,000 marine scientists from all over the world go to this meeting in Hawaii. And you know, I wonder, are we ever going to see that again? We might not. You know, so I think there are some significant changes, and I think that going through all of this period, as painful as it has been at times, particularly for individuals and especially if they live alone, we will have learned some stuff in this, I think. I feel sure about that.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll never go back and do things quite in the same way again. But like you say, a big shout out to all your team that have kept the essential things running. And we should maybe
Yes.
highlight one of your team got recognised in the New Year's Honours list as well.
She did, and she was one of the team that maintained her work pattern. Yes, Christine Campbell. She was essentially the lead of the culture collection work, and she got an MBE. You're absolutely right, for very considerable services, not only for the culture collection, but also for her work with the unions, actually. We're very supportive of the unions in SAMHSA and have a really very good relationship with them. And in part, that was because of Christine's work. So, yeah, big congratulations to Christine, that's for sure.
Yeah, Yeah, super congratulations to Herbert. Yeah, no, well done to all the team, and let's hope you're all back soon and we can see some of these fantastic, exciting developments. That's yeah, that'd be fantastic. Thanks,
Yes,
Nick, for that.
indeed. Indeed, not at all. Not at all. I mean, the one thing, I mean, just to sort of to perhaps conclude on is that sort of my own personal involvement in Rolling Sands was I actually first saw Sands back in the 70s when I was a PhD student. I was a PhD student in Dundee, and I had occasion to come across to Sands on a couple of the two or three times actually, and thought I'm going to work there one day.
Wow.
And anyway, it's taken me nearly a lifetime of work to get here. Or a
That
lifetime of other, yeah, a lifetime of other organisations, I should put it that way, being director of them, to get me in a position to be able to come to Sands.
How fantastic, though, that to have that goal and now be there, leading the team. That's I
Yeah,
never knew when
no.
we've spoken before that it was such a long-held ambition, Nick.
Very much so. No, very, very, very much so. Yeah, and it was. I mean, I've done some great jobs, really fascinating ones. You know, I mean, the director of British Antarctic Survey and director of Plymouth Labs and all sorts of similarish types of jobs. But there's no doubt about it that Sands is a really, really special place, actually. And I can say that because of lots of experience of other places. And so it is absolutely a great. I know it's a bit of a cliche when people say it's a privilege and a pleasure, but it really is for me, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And something that I say to in the often in the graduation speeches that we have to give, you know, to our graduates is, you know, if you know you're in the right job when you wake up on the Monday morning and go, yes. And if you can't do that, you need to think twice whether you're in the right job, is my bit of advice to them now. And so I mean, I could retire, I guess. You know, I'm certainly past what used to be the retirement age. But I have no intention of doing so anytime soon, that's for sure.
It's obviously
So
lived
much
up to
exciting stuff to do.
your obviously
Yeah.
lived up to your expectation, and I know from many conversations just how passionate you are about it. So that's always
Yeah.
lovely to hear. Yes.
Yes, indeed. No, I'm very fortunate. You know, I mean, when people say, "Well, what's your job like?" I say, "Well, actually, more often than not, it doesn't feel like a job. It's been a vocation, actually."
Oh, what an
And
advert for Sam's and for career in science.
yes, I think it is. It's a real. It is. We are privileged, those of us who are able to do this. I mean, it's, you know, it's. Obviously, it's quite a lot harder now than it used to be. You know, when I started out, there weren't many of us that were that had that right sort of qualifications. There's a lot more now, but you know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much for. And I'm so glad we heard that last sort of personal reflection. Thank you for that. And thank you
Not at
for telling
all.
everybody about Sam's, and hopefully when they can, they'll go and visit the Discovery Centre and or join and become a member and learn a bit more about it. So thank you.
Indeed, no, that's right. I they'll be most welcome. Absolutely most welcome indeed. So thank you, and thanks for the opportunity for sharing or allowing me to share what I feel about the place. It's always nice to be able to do that.
Our coastal location really is an asset for our economic growth, and having an organisation with its global reputation like Sam's in the area really helps us to leverage that for maximum benefit. We've talked before about the rural growth deal and our coastal location and blue economy feature large in that, and we're really looking forward to working with Sam's and look forward to seeing the benefits of that in the future. I hope you do too. Thanks for listening.
Hippos Podcast.